This afternoon will be from Proverbs 8. We're continuing, as I said, through the Lord's Prayer, and we'll read firstly Deuteronomy chapter 8, which is on page 180 of the Black Pew Bible. And Steve will bring that reading for us. Thank you, Steve. So Deuteronomy 8, we'll read the whole chapter.
Titled, Remember the Lord your God. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole day that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know that what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandment or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciples his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land with whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God is not by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I commanded you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fierce serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you and do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Thanks, Steve. And I'd like to read also just two verses from Proverbs chapter 30. Three verses, 7, 8, and 9 of Proverbs chapter 30, we're on page 653 of the Pew Bible. Proverbs 30 from verse 7, two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. This is the word of God. And I'd like to also read from Lord's Day, I think we're up to 40, I beg your pardon, Lord's Day 50, on page 54 of the smaller Green Book of Forms, question answer 125, as we continue looking at the Lord's Prayer. So question answer 125 of the Heidelberg Catechism asks, what does the fourth request mean? Give us today our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. So we've covered the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and those first three petitions we have seen are concerned with God, with who He is, with His mission, and with His character. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now we come to the second three petitions. And these petitions are concerned with our needs, the needs of people. And this first petition of these second three is concerned, of course, with our bread, with our food. The second, with our forgiveness. And thirdly, then, being led and delivered from evil. So firstly, though, we just want to notice that prayer is not a one-way street. Prayer is not all about God. And prayer is not all about man, on the other hand, about us. Prayer, as we've said, is the expression of our relationship with God. A relationship as a father to a child and a child to their father. That is, knowing our place before Him as the Holy God, seeking His care and protection. And it's a common practice among many of us to pray at mealtimes. It might be a practice that we've grown up with. It might be one of the first things that we learn as a child growing up in a Christian family, one of the first things we might teach as a Christian parent. And it's certainly a good habit to be in the habit of, praying at mealtimes. We see Jesus pray. During the feeding miracles that He performed, we see Him pray at the Lord's Supper, where He breaks the bread and gives thanks. But this habit is not simply a habit for habit's sake. It's not a superstitious ritual to be performed. It's not a prayer that would add nutritional value to our food, that it would taste better, to prevent us from choking or something like that. It's not superstition that we do this thing. It's a very simple act, and yet a very profound act, to acknowledge God and what He's given us today. In our culture, though, a culture there where food and things are abundant, where stuff is not scarce and certainly not hard to come by. This petition that God would give us today, our daily bread, might seem unnecessary. Of course we're going to have something to eat today. We might take it for granted that we will have something to eat today. This petition, though, is not a demand that God would do something, and without that request, you know, we're going to go hungry. It's not the case of, well, Jesus wants us to pray this just in case we've got nothing to eat. This petition is continuing to express the relationship that we have with God as our Father, and we to Him as His child. A relationship that we have by grace as a gift through faith. And so this expression then of our relationship extends to the most commonest things, the most basic of things, the most simplest of things. So as we look at this petition then, our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, we'll consider it under three headings. And as simple as they might be, I want us to see just the profundity of God and our relationship to Him in these most simple things. So firstly, God's design. God designed, God dependent, and thirdly, God delivered. So firstly then, God designed. In Psalm 139, we're told there that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 14 of Psalm 139, David writes, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. God is to be praised. Simply for the way He's made us. Simply for the way that He's made people. The way He's put us together. And you don't need a degree in human biology or study human anatomy or neurology or all those other things that we could study about humanity to know that we are extraordinary creatures. And we can appreciate that God has made us special. Just look at the way your body works. Look at the way your eyes function. Look at the way your hand is put together. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we were to study our bodies and anatomy and all that sort of thing, we would see just how complex we are and how intricate is the working of our bodies. And we would see and be amazed by how we have been made. But as amazing as our bodies are, our bodies are not self-perpetuating. Well, that is, in terms of self-sustaining. We have a constant need of sustenance, a constant need of being replenished. And without that replenishment, we are vulnerable. We get sick. We will get weak. We get fatigued. Without prolonged sustenance, we would die. We would lose our life. Jesus says in Matthew 4, when he's in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, Satan tempts him to turn the stones into bread when Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and he answers, quoting from Deuteronomy 8, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We don't live by bread alone, but it's exceedingly difficult to live without it. And in chapter 6, Jesus goes on to say, don't be anxious about food, what you will eat or what you will drink. Your Father knows you need these things. And yet, He teaches us here that we are to pray. We are to pray that God would give us this day our daily bread. That is, we are to seek this sustenance that we need from Him, because God has designed it that way. He's designed us to need sustenance. He's designed His creation to seek it from him, and he's designed the world to be the vehicle through which he provides it. Think about it. I don't know if you see those pictures of Mars from the all those robots that are up there, or the pictures of the moon, and it's just completely barren. It's just devoid of life and vegetation. And look at our world and how wonderfully designed it is. And sure, there's parts that are desert, but there are many parts that are arable. He's designed those parts. He's designed the seasons. He's designed and created the vegetation in order to provide us with the sustenance we need. At our session meeting on Tuesday, I read from Genesis 1 and just marveled again at the way God made the world and gave all of the plants and said, "These I give to you for food." And after Christ comes, even animals we can be permitted to eat. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." Do you ever marvel at the wonderful diversity of foods there are in the world? The world over, every person is made the same way. We're all sustained by food, and there's just this marvelous diversity of rich flavors. And some are more tasty than others, of course. But whatever goes on your plate today, whatever you put in your mouth today, is a result of God's design. Our bodies need food and drink to sustain our life, and God has designed us, designed this world that we live in for that purpose. And God has done this so that, secondly, we would be God dependent. And that's what this petition is teaching us. We are God dependent. We depend on God for our life, for our existence, and on God for sustaining that existence. And God wants us to acknowledge him in that. He wants us to depend on him for it. But what exactly are we dependent on God for? Now, I think all the English translations that I've looked at translate this phrase the same way, our daily bread. Our English translations, though, hide a difficult situation, because the word here for daily is unique. It is unique. It's this word for daily is not mentioned in any other Greek literature anywhere. This word's only mentioned in the context of the Lord's Prayer, both in Luke 11 and in Matthew 6. And nowhere else. And that makes things difficult. Like, what is this word? What does it mean? Some of the options, there's basically two options. One option is that it refers to time. That is, today. And some will understand it as, give us this day our bread for today. Others will say that it refers to tomorrow. Give us this day our tomorrow's bread. And the Greek word sounds a lot like the word for tomorrow. Others, though, suggest that it refers to the amount of bread. That is, give us today our bread for existence. Give us sufficient bread. And others still say that it's the bare minimum. Give us the bread, the minimum amount that we need to live. So it's a difficult word to translate. And one very, very early translation, the Old Syriac, says, or translated as, give us lasting bread, perpetual bread, bread that doesn't run out. It's difficult to know which one it is exactly, but whichever one it is, it's teaching us to depend on God for providing it. And for what it's worth, I think the best rendering might be sufficient bread. Give us today our sufficient bread. And we're dependent on God, for that. The enemy of dependence, however, is self-sufficiency. And the enemy of self-sufficiency is the enemy of many things. Self-sufficiency is the enemy of thankfulness. That's the enemy of humility. It's the enemy of generosity. And we read from Deuteronomy 8 where the people of God, the Israelites, were warned to remember God, not to become or think of themselves as self-sufficient, as if they themselves had worked to provide what they have. God did not want them to forget him and how dependent they were on him and forget his goodness to them and his commands to them and become proud and independent. God was bringing them into this land that was full of wonderful things. And abundance can play a large role in turning hearts away from dependence on God. Abundance. Isn't that where we find ourselves today? We have an abundant choice, abundant availability. And for many of us, abundant quantity. Now, we might not have the same as everyone else. Others have more, some have less. But whether we have more or less is entirely beside the point here. All that we have is from God. All of what we have, we are dependent on God for, and we have a responsibility, therefore, to use it well. We read from Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, and the church father, Augustine, wrote that he believed that the full expression of this petition in the Lord's Prayer is found in Proverbs 8 and 9, where it says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. How dependent are we? Do you sense your dependency on God for what you have and what you need? And is it reflected in the way you pray? One writer points out, I think very helpfully, that this prayer is for our daily bread. It's not for our daily cake. That is, it's bread. Bread was a staple food. The term is also used for food in general. We're not here asking for our favourites. Jesus is not teaching us to name it and claim it. Now, sometimes we enjoy lovely meals. Sometimes we enjoy the rich diversity of foods that are available to us on special occasions. That's a good thing to enjoy. Other times, you just have food. God's the giver of both. And God calls us to acknowledge him, that we are dependent on him for our daily bread. Because thirdly, our bread is God delivered. God has designed us and the world that we would be God dependent. And we can know and trust that he delivers. Food delivery has become a real thing. Once upon a time, it was just pizza that was delivered. Now you can get your groceries delivered. And I haven't used it. Uber Eats. Apparently, you can order your takeout and get it delivered from anywhere. How does God deliver? God delivers. How does he deliver? It was a common Jewish prayer in the first century to pray, "Blessed art thou, our Lord and God, King of the universe who brings forth bread from the earth." And when we read about Jesus praying, when we say that Jesus lifted up, he broke bread and he blessed, it's likely that he prayed a prayer like this. "Blessed art thou, our Lord and God, King of the universe who brings forth bread from the earth." God delivers through his providence. I think it's a remarkable thing to think of the process that it takes to get something on your table. I'm not sure what you ate for lunch today. Maybe it was a sandwich, maybe it was a cooked meal. What did it take to get that food on your table? Maybe you had a piece of fruit today. It required a tree to be planted years ago. It required this plant to grow from a seed that likewise came from another piece of fruit. It needed the right conditions, the sunshine. It needed water. It needed nutrients in the ground. It needed pollination. It needed someone to pick it, someone to sort it, someone to deliver it. It's a remarkable process to get one piece of food on our table. And God delivers it through his providence. And yet God delivers also through our work. There are many workers involved in this process, but we also are not so much involved in the process. We work to obtain the income to buy the result of this process. What we're saying here is that God delivers through very ordinary means. Ordinary, simple means, yet profound means. Do you ever wonder how long it would take? I wonder this sometimes. How long it would take for society to break down and descend into anarchy and chaos in the event of a food shortage? I'm sure someone keeps stats on that, but I don't want to guess, but I imagine it's not that long. I remember seeing footage from Cyclone Tracy in Australia in Darwin in 1974, and there was footage of a man sitting on top of his collapsed house with a gun, ready to ward off the looters. How long would it take in the event of a food shortage to descend into anarchy and chaos? And I also wonder what it would mean for us to pray in those situations. What does it mean for a Christian refugee to pray this prayer? Some of us have lived through the war years. What does it mean to pray this prayer in those times? I know nothing of it. And yet God would call his people to continue with this prayer in wartime, in famine, even when there's a food shortage, when there's anarchy and chaos. I think it's also important to note the communal aspect of this petition. Notice it's "give us this day our daily bread." That is, it's not saying "give me this day my daily bread." Of course, we're included in that, us, but there's a communal aspect, because God also delivers through the generosity of his people. When there was famine in Judea and Jerusalem, the Apostle Paul arranged the collection and took the gift of the churches from Galatia, from Macedonia and Europe, and took it to the Christians and provided for them. When Paul himself was in prison or in trouble in Thessalonica, he thanked the Philippian congregation for the aid that they sent him again and again. God delivers through his people. The abundance that we enjoy, the rich diversity that is available to us, ought not to make us self-sufficient, but aware and respond to the needs of others. And so to pray this prayer, this petition, is to take up the obligation God puts before us, to acknowledge him and give our thankfulness to him, to use well what he has given to us, and to be generous when the needs arise. Because God is gracious. God is merciful and has been to us, and everything we have is a gift from him. And there'll be a day when we no longer need to pray. Give us this day our daily bread, because we'll be enjoying it with our Lord. He promises the feast in eternity, the great wedding banquet, in his presence, free from need, free from want, free from harm and hurt and sin and sorrow. Daily sustenance, though, won't get us a place at that table. Only feasting on the true bread, the living bread, and trusting in the bread from heaven, the person and work of Jesus, will qualify us for that wonderful heavenly feast. But it's not as though we are dependent on God for salvation and alone, and in life we simply make our own way. He calls us to express our dependence on him, this relationship that we have by grace, as his disciples, to acknowledge him in all things. The one who delivers from sin and condemnation delivers daily. So we aren't self-sufficient creatures. God hasn't designed us that way. We can be tempted to think that we are in the midst of our abundance. But to act as if we are self-sufficient is to become proud and defy God. But our lives are in his hands. And so we rely then on God's daily provision to us. He calls us to acknowledge him, to seek him and his provision, giving thanks to him and always being ready to respond to the needs around us as we pray this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we can read your word again this afternoon. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your Son to teach us how to pray. Lord, when we consider the stars, the sun, this world that you have made, and we ask, what are we, that you should care for us? And yet you do. Lord, you call us to come to you in humble dependence on what you give. Lord, you have given us your Son. You have given us salvation in him for all who repent and believe. And yet you give us daily what we need. Lord, may we not become proud. May we not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. May we not trust in our own ability to produce wealth. May the abundance that we enjoy not cloud who you are and what you have done for us. But Lord, may you make us dependent on you and willing to respond to the needs around us. Father, may you be praised for all that you give to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.